Welcome back to Sharpen the Iron Podcast, where it is my job to share with you tools, lessons, inspiration, and ideas to help you sharpen your iron mind, empowering you to go out and walk with God day by day to maximize your life. Today in this episode, we are going to be discussing the region beta paradox, which I first learned from Chris Williamson quite a long time ago, and it's something I think about often, and I've been meaning to make a podcast about it, and now I'm here taking care of it. The region beta paradox can be defined as the phenomenon that people can sometimes recover more quickly from more distressing experiences than from less distressing ones, or that difficult events create better outcomes over time. This is the definition, and the example that I first heard is one of walking and biking. So if the distance you have to travel is 1 mile or less, you will walk there, and it will take about 20 minutes, assuming the average person walks 3 miles an hour. If the distance you need to go was more than a mile, you would ride your bike there, which would take you a little less than 5 minutes, assuming that you were going a little over a mile. It'd be just about 5 minutes. If we are also assuming that the average person can bike 15 miles an hour. So in this case, if the situation was worse, or the distance was further away, you would be more likely to take a different course of action. You'd be more likely to ride your bike, and you could ride your bike 4 to 5 miles in 20 minutes, the same 20 minutes that you would have spent walking 1 mile. And this same thing works in our lives all the time. So it's just basically like, if something is just okay, it's not great, but it's also not that bad, we are much less likely to do anything about it than if our situation was much worse, if we hit rock bottom, if our situation was terrible. And part of the psychology behind why this is because if the situation is more stressful and intense, it is going to evoke a more visceral psychological response defense within you, where if things are, you know, just okay, it won't trigger or arouse you in the same way and cause you to take actions to make the changes that are necessary. And the first example, which I've experienced in my own life that comes to mind when I think about this, has to do with running. So there's kind of this joke within the running community that the first part or stage of injury is denial. And for me, that was definitely the case. I feel like, you know, no runner wants to accept the fact that they should not be running anymore, that they should take some time off, and that they should allow their body to heal. I was denying some of these things within my body. I knew there were some things that maybe created... I knew that there was something going on in my knees, just things that I was avoiding. And I was also neglecting some things in the weight room. I was neglecting strengthening weak areas in my body with my hips and my glutes. I was just avoiding these things. And why? Like, why would I not just take care of them? Why would I not just do anything about it? Like, it seems so irrational to avoid these things. But it's because, you know, the signs were there, but it was not so bad. It was not bad enough to make me not be able to run. It wasn't bad enough to take me out of running. It wasn't really causing any real pain. It would just maybe come up once in a while. It was just easy to overlook and ignore. I could get away with it until I couldn't. So I just kept avoiding things until I finally got injured. You know, which forced me to slow down, take some time off, take a step back, and begin to reassess, you know, what have I been doing? I need to make some changes. It was finally time for some changes because, like, I couldn't avoid this anymore. I could no longer avoid and deny what had been going on. So I did finally begin to take some action. I began to work on the weak spots in my body. I began to take some time away from running and let myself heal up and just kind of mentally reset as well. Isn't it ironic that it took for things to get worse before they could begin to improve? My weak areas now feel much stronger than ever, And I have not just made quick fixes. It's not like I try to change things and get right back into it, but I've implemented some lasting strategies and habits to hopefully help me continue to grow stronger in these weak areas. It truly is not just like a diet fix. It's a lifestyle change. It's much more than a Band-Aid. I'm trying to get to the source, get to the root of the problem. And this is exactly what the region beta paradox is. It would be better if things were worse than just okay. If things kept going on for any longer, you know, if they just kept going, if I kept running and it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't great, I probably would have continued to just run myself into the ground. However, in a weird paradoxical way, having it all blow up made me kind of look in the mirror. I had to let go of my pride. I had to stop denying reality, and I had to face up to what I had been avoiding. And in part, I believe this is the natural cycle for a lot of things. But I also think we can work to become more aware of the things we are avoiding and try to confront them before they blow up and get too bad. We can kind of push back against letting things get to the breaking point before we make any changes. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But just the natural cycle of things. If you think of your own car, say you cleaned it a few weeks ago and it has some crumbs and some garbage in it and it's a bit dusty, but it isn't too bad. So you just let it be. You know, now it's been 2 months since you cleaned it and you realized, oh my goodness, I need to get this thing straightened up. This is just the natural cycle we go through, right? We clean things up, we get the car clean, and it begins to accrue a little bit of a mess, some crumbs here and there, maybe a little wrapper, a shirt that we left in there, but it's not that bad, you know. It's, if my friends see it, whatever. I'm not really too worried about it. But then it gets really messy. Those little things add up, and then we just eventually have to clean up and get things straightened up, and then that cycle repeats itself. And I think in part this cycle happens in relationships as well, right? Maybe you're in a relationship with someone, a friend or a spouse or whatever it is. A few things might start to bother you and add up over time, and eventually a fight breaks out, right? There's this disconnect between you two, a bit of a mini falling out, and it can be uncomfortable and awkward and humbling. But eventually as well, you get things straightened out. You talk through some things and now you're good again. You and the other person had to go through that to grow. One little thing is not enough for a fight to break out. It is the adding up of 100 things. And sometimes it may be 1,000 things before we finally do something about it. But sometimes as well, it might be to the point where it is too late. And you can think of this in regards to relationships where you have someone you like and you've been with them for a while, but you know, you just don't see things. You two things are just good enough. They're okay. You support each other and you kind of like each other, but not sure about where the future lies with you two. And it would almost be better if it was some toxic, horrible relationship where you could just say, okay, we got to make a change. But if things just aren't that bad, you can kind of put up with it for a very long time and let things linger on for much longer than they need to. And we can think of this as well in regards to our faith. I think especially with some of the things some of the things I struggle with, some of the things that behind the scenes in my own life that I have going on, the things I would say that no one else knows about, the things that are done in the dark. So I have these things, you know, and since no one else knows about them besides me, like this is only on my own conscience, and obviously God sees it, but no one else knows about it. So it's not like I may feel guilty about it. I may be carrying some shame with these things, but since no one else knows, right, it's not that bad because they don't know what's going on. And yeah, exactly, because because it's in the dark, you can deceive man. And again, not God, obviously, but it's in the darkness, but it's not so uncomfortable because it's not exposed out to the whole public. However, again, in a paradoxical way, it would be better if kind of all these things I have been struggling with were just out in the light for God and others to see, because that would force me to make more of a change. You know, it would be much more painful, but in the long run, it would be better for me. I can no longer avoid these things. I can no longer pretend that it would just be a much more difficult situation. Whereas if it's just in the dark and no one else knows about it, then I can hide it for a long time and I can spend a lot of time there. It would just be paradoxically better if everyone knew about what was going on, because then it kind of begins to hold me more accountable in a way as well. And we can spend years or a whole lifetime in this darkness. And that's kind of the scary part, especially now in the modern world. We can distract ourselves with things, you know, with pleasure and drugs and stimulus, and completely avoid facing up to whatever the hell is going on within ourselves, within our own lives. And paradoxically, in our relationship with God, it takes sometimes something really bad to happen before we turn and acknowledge Him. It is almost better that bad things do happen, because without them, we may never turn to Him, nor need Him, nor feel we need Him. So whether it be like in a job, a relationship, or just your life in general, we can find ourselves in a place of, you know, just enough comfort where things are okay, but they're also not great. And we can spend most of our lives there where we never get pushed to the breaking point. It's like you're getting shocked with something, but the shock isn't terrible. It's like putting your finger to an electric fence. It might make you jump a little bit. It might make you a little bit nervous. It might be a little annoying, but it's not to the degree of getting shocked by a light pole where you potentially could get killed from it, right? So that's a whole different thing. We can put up with holding onto electric fence, but getting shocked or struck by lightning, something like that, of that magnitude, it's going to really force you to do something differently. And so paradoxically, essentially the region beta paradox is a worse situation would be better because it forces us to make a change. And there's just a bunch of examples that I could go through, but if you kind of understand this idea, then you can begin to see it in a lot of places and hopefully kind of within your own life, see how this may have affected you. I just think the antidote is we have to pray to God and ask Him to give us the courage and the humility to not avoid what we need to face up to stop avoiding what we are avoiding, and to just confront the dragon in the lair, as Jordan Peterson would say, confront the dragon and it's in the dark cave before it gets too big, before it eats you. You gotta just face up to the problems. It's easy to tuck things away and act like there's nothing wrong, nothing going on, to avoid the elephant in the room, but that doesn't mean it's not there. It is there. And eventually it will devour you. So we just need to ask God to guide us in facing up to these things. And there's no better challenge than facing up to what we're avoiding. It's a great adventure of life. It's uncomfortable, and it often forces us to let go of old ideas, old habits, old ways, to let go of ourselves, to die in a bit of a way. But death is the secret to life. That's it. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed. I will see you next time. You have been blessed. So be a blesser. And as always, sharpen the iron.